That is essentially true.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's our first Geeky Bummer episode, where we talk about all sorts of horrible shit happening in our local geekosphere and why it sucks.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Oh, hello.
And Tim Wick.
I am also here.
And we're recording at the Deepwood Mott Studios. So if you hear puppy barking in the background, that's Peaches. And she says hello, and she also doesn't believe in God. There she is. So.
Hopefully she'll get quiet.
We're going to talk about some, I don't know, what do you want to say, like some local call-out culture stuff?
Sure.
Is that what we want to call it? In the past 2 weeks, maybe in the past week in the Twin Cities, there were like a couple things that have happened where, to some degree or another, important parts or pieces of the nerd culture scene in the Twin Cities have had some like bad news or some revelations of really bad behavior. One of them was Screamtown,
yeah, the haunted house, more like a haunted.
It's a spooky experience. It's like
a haunted carnival.
They got the haunted house, and they got the mazes and the hayride kind of stuff.
The big old haunted complex, which is a big thing these days.
It's not the one at the Renaissance Festival grounds.
Trail of Terror. Right.
It's the other one.
A different asshole owns this one. this one, the owner sent out an email that was also posted up in the box office or whatever, the ticket booth, essentially saying no Somalis.
Not even essentially, like what it literally said was, remember we have a zero tolerance policy with Somalis. Use your best judgment when letting people in, but zero tolerance for Somalis.
Right.
Which was based on apparently the fact that there was a group of 10, apparently
eight
Somalis,
to 10.
8 to 10 Somalis who had been causing a problem the previous week.
At Screamtown, right. the week before.
So no information on how many Somalis did not cause a problem.
The rest of them.
My sisters were there.
Your sisters were at Screamtown or Valley Scare?
Screamtown.
Okay.
My mom said they were there.
Because the reason I ask is a lot of people were conflating. A lot of people were saying that the reason that this happened was because of something that happened at Valley Scare 2 weeks before.
Oh.
And we're saying, oh, it was that thing with the cops that got called and they had to bring in a SWAT team and all this shit. And then there was a thing at Screamtown where the sheriff had to come in and there was like defacing or
misbehaving teens.
Yeah.
Your problem isn't that they're Somalian. The problem is that they're teenagers.
Yeah.
And teenagers are assholes.
What he should have said is don't let any assholes in.
Right. When the news came out, after a day of it being out and very publicly stated that Screamtown was deleting any comments or posts of the email on their Facebook page for a while until it just got to be too much for them. The sheriff...
Carver County
pulled their officer support, which was part of their contract to be able to... Part of their...
Permit.
Yeah.
Requires a police presence. And if they pulled their support, they couldn't do the event. So Screamtown was going to shut down.
And they seem to have found other security.
They hired private security and the sheriff's department decided that was good enough.
Right. So it's still going on.
And for what it's worth, the dude vehemently apologized and was like, I did not mean that. I can see how it was taken out of context, but that's not how I meant it. I meant, I don't know what I meant, but I didn't mean what you all think I meant. And yeah, As I told Nick when it happened, I'm like, I think best case scenario, what that dude was trying to think when he wrote the email was, how do I say, don't let those Somali kids in from last week? Well, I don't know what they looked like. I don't know their names. I can't describe them other than that they were Somali. So what do I, you know what? Don't let the Somalis in. Like, that's what, I mean, they all know I mean those ones from before. I'll just say that. And that's like giving them the most benefit of the doubt I can possibly muster.
Yeah, still and that's awful.
Even still awful.
Still awful.
Still awful.
He easily could have said, don't let the disruptive kids from last weekend
in. Yeah, right. If you recognize anyone from the thing last weekend, don't let them in.
He even could have said that they were Somalian. If he was very specific about those kids, I still think that would be bad, but it would have been far less bad if he had said, that group of Somalian teens that caused problems last week, don't let them back in.
Yeah.
Maybe still not great, but Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
And then to write it, to send an email.
Shh. Yeah.
To send an email and further to print it out and post it.
Oh my God.
This is like, you have to be super dumb to do that.
It's, and so, I mean, I know you're never supposed to look at the comments, but I looked at the comments.
Oh, that's a shame.
And, the vast majority were people saying, like, fuck this, I'm not coming back, or you'll never get our business, and like, oh, I guess I'll get a refund on my Groupon, and stuff like that. There were a handful of people saying, like, awesome, I know where I'm going this weekend, or like, sweet, I'm looking for a place to get away from those people, and shit like that. Like, there were racist shitheads came out of the woodwork to show their support for racism, which we already know because of the 2016 election.
And much that's happened since then.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. So, Screamtown happened.
Yep.
There was another one that happened that is not great. Not great. Not a great time to be a nerd in the Twin Cities with the bad news.
Yeah. So, a woman who used to work at The Source, who had just quit a little while ago to get like an office job somewhere,
right,
which struck everyone who knew her as a little bit weird because it seemed like she really was so well, like perfect for her job at The Source.
And I know we've mentioned The Source before, but it's been a while, so it is a games and comics store.
Yep, Source Comics and Games. It's one of the biggest comic stores in the Twin Cities and one of the biggest game stores, especially for miniatures gaming. They also have a huge space for minis gaming, and I mean, we had gotten our comics there every week for, fuck, 8 years, pretty, 9 years.
8 or 9 years.
Pretty much where we go shopping for tabletop games,
yep,
for like nerd toys and gifts. It's a good spot.
And there are a lot of really great people who work there, really compassionate, kind people who work there, and apparently there are a couple people who work there who are misogynist, transphobic, homophobic jackasses. And the woman who quit said that's why she quit.
And there are a lot of people there that are not employees, but are regulars and parts of groups at The Source that have really shitty behavior, especially towards women, and nothing's really being done about that.
Yeah, and so it's funny because
there's a cultural problem at The Source.
And the employee, the woman in question, before she quit, she told the manager, general manager, who is the biggest person she names as the problem, told him, you know, it's just a matter of time before something really goes down here because of the way that you're treating women. And there was an instance of dead naming. There was an instance of a trans customer and the manager being like misgendering and dead naming and saying that, well, I knew him before, you know, shitty stuff like that. And when the woman posted her thing about leaving, shit tons of women on the Twin Cities Geeks Facebook group commented saying, yeah, no, I don't go there anymore because of these like misogynist incidents and like this behavior and the way I was treated. And there were a lot of them. So it's
yeah. Well, and I mean, it's a fucking dumb stereotype that is based on, you know, real stuff, and that's women go to a comic shop and it's socially inept and or misogynistic dudes who say inappropriate shit or treat them poorly, mm-hmm. And we're fucking better than that shitty old stereotype, but apparently not.
Well, it's funny. So before I worked at Fantasy Flight Games, when I had just started out and no one at the store really knew me, an employee who no longer works there was such a misogynist, like, just jackass to me that I actually made a Reddit comic about it on the 7Fs 12Us and, like, about how, like, I would go into the, I went to the store and I was like, pulls for, you know, pulls for Molly Glover, please. And he was like, pulls for Nick Glover? I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, for Nick and Molly Glover. They're under his name, but they're for both of us. And he was like, oh, okay, sure. And he pulls the comics out and he's like, so you read comics? I was like, yeah. And he's like Buffy or something. He's like, no? And he's like, oh. And in my head, I'm like, you know what? Nah, I got this. I'm like, get myself, draw myself up, and I'm like, make a bunch of points about the current run of Avengers, and like, you know, oh, I think this and that, and it's so exciting. And what do you think? And he goes,
you show your nerd card.
Yeah, show my nerd card, you know, because there's a, you know, I get it. And so I do that, and his response is, oh, yeah, I don't really read comics. Which was just like, so what are you giving me shit about this for? And like, once they knew who I was and where I worked, it really stopped being an issue because I became a person and not just a woman. Yeah. And that tends to be how it goes with most misogynists, honestly.
Or you became someone to know.
That could be the case, too. Because of where you worked, too. Tim, have you, I mean, you've got two sons, but, and I know you got, you know, you and Pat, but like, have you ever seen or experienced anything there that ever made you uncomfortable?
You know, I haven't, and I think I can't speak for Pat. This is a case where I almost wish that we had her on the podcast today. Now that you're asking the question, but because I don't think that she's experienced that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't. Neither one of us are big comics.
Yeah, readers. So you're there. So like we go there mostly
for tabletop games. Yeah. We go there a few times a year to pick up games, but it's usually coming out of a MegaCon where you know whatever the hot new two or three games that came out. We tend to go in and be like, all right, well let's get these games because we want to play them. And at least one of the people who works at the source goes to OmegaCon. So So I feel like that kind of circumnavigates the inherent sexism. That she's likely to encounter.
And well, and as we're older too, like it tends to be less.
Yeah.
You know? But like comic shop sexism is, I mean, it's a trope because it's so pervasive. It's, I can remember being in high school and buying comics and having the counter guy ask me what if I was buying comics for my boyfriend.
Sure.
And I was like, no. He's like, oh, for your brother then? He's like, no, man. Like, these are for me.
Jesus.
I know that might be shocking, I guess, in 1994. But it was, and I am, you know, we've talked about this before. I tend to be, I don't want to say like blind to that kind of stuff, but tend to be a little less sensitive or like more just like, oh, yeah, well, that's how it is to that kind of sexism. So seeing a lot of other women say that they felt uncomfortable or experienced that or didn't like it. And then another thing that the woman who quit brought up was that LGBT content was getting removed from the shelves.
Specifically from the youth shelves.
Yeah.
Being youth comics.
Yeah,
it wasn't Goldie like... Goldie Vance, I think.
Yeah, this wasn't like Matt Fraction's Sex Criminals. This was like... this was just like, there's a gay character in my kid's comic. You know, it wasn't... anything insane, so
or like Lumberjanes or something like that. You know, it's just like this is a youth comic. That's where it belongs. Now,
and wasn't this employee? She curated the comic section. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So she should be considered the subject matter expert on such things.
Yes.
And I mean, okay. So not only does she. Making solid recommendations, checking out new comics, checking out new creators. She goes to like all the big comic, she, well, not all, but she goes to a lot of big comic conventions and, you know, brings back that excitement and knowledge and the pictures and all that. And so, like, yeah, I mean, even if she didn't, yeah, it her credentials don't matter, though. Yes, she had them in spades and she was great at her job. Right. It was noticeable.
I guess it's more that when you're going to somebody and you're saying, well, you can't put these comics in the youth category because there's LGBT content. I feel like if she's responsible for curating that section, you have to trust her.
Right.
Yes.
Even if they're, you know, because honestly, if there's a parent coming in and complaining about there being a gay character in the youth comic, I'd be like,
don't buy it.
Gay people are everywhere in society and we're not going to erase them from
right.
comics.
Right.
That's your problem.
Yeah.
And you can feel free to tell your kids what they can and can't read. You're a parent. Do your job.
There's been some fallout. Paizo Publishing, who makes the Pathfinder role-playing game, has blacklisted the source as an event space, which means that the Pathfinder groups that were hosting there have to find a new spot. The Shield Maidens group, which is started by the women who frequented the source to try to make a safe space for women.
They carved it out.
They really carved it out to be like, this is our space. We're going to game here. They wrote an open letter as to why they were staying, saying that they believe the employee, they believe her, they're standing behind her, but at the same time, like, they feel like they have to fight for the space and make it, that not just give up on it, but right. work to make it.
They outlined a number of recommendations for the source. Like, these are the things you can do.
Yep.
These are the things you should do to, and I really appreciate that. I mean, they're a great group and they're amazing that they exist, but also the fact that they took their efforts and their time to say, you know, hey, look, you need a code of conduct in the store
mm-hmm.
for employees and for patrons.
Not
and,
just posted back in the gaming area.
It's they gave an example. Of places that have it that they can use. And they need training for gender, sexuality, and disability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they gave them options on where they could get them.
Yeah.
And they talked about diversifying staffing. And they talked about other inclusive action. And really, I mean, they were like, you got to do the work, though. So please do the work because we want to stay here. And if you don't do the work, we'll go. Which is, I think that's a gift to the source. Like, I hope they realize how lucky they are for a group that is very active and very public saying, this is what you can do to help make this right.
Yeah, so when something like this goes down,
mm-hmm.
it's like, what's the response in terms of, do you immediately go, fuck it, I'm not going to be their customer anymore? Do you want to give them a chance to make it right before you walk away? I mean, where do you come down? Because, you know, the source is, unlike for you, the source is super close to my house.
Yeah. Well, it's right by my work, so I go there all the time.
And
I'm there once a week.
The Fantasy Flight Game Center has games.
Yep.
But it doesn't have all the other things the source has.
It doesn't have comics.
Which is a bummer for us.
It has a lot of space for gaming.
It has a lot of gaming
space. It has a library to check things out.
It's a game center.
I mean, it's a good...
They have a restaurant.
They have a restaurant. It's a good space. And at the same time, you know, a small game and comic shop, you want to give business to those shops to keep them in business. But, you know, where... And I, for right now, I'm not shopping there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We aren't either.
But the question is, can they do something to change your mind?
Can they get enough?
I think so. I think, first and foremost, that the person who is the manager who is accused of these things, and I believe the accusations. I don't mean to use the word accused to make it sound like I don't think that it happened. It needs to not be the manager anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe, and you know, maybe it's not that he doesn't work. Maybe he can still work there, but maybe there's a way for him to not be in the store working. Maybe there's a way for him to be like office stuff, and he's only ever in the office, and he's not around customers. I don't know.
I can't imagine how other people would feel, like trans folks that shop there and stuff. But like, I don't want to see him there. Right. I don't want to walk in and see him behind the counter. I don't want to interact with him and be, and I don't even want to hear him apologize. I mean, he doesn't have shit to apologize to me, but like, I don't, I'm not interested. I don't want to see him there because I feel like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's,
When you read, when you read the description of what he was doing in terms of dead naming a former employee
and
misgendering a former employee and basically saying, you know, I'll use their current gender and their current name to their face.
He used slurs with about customers.
Yeah,
like he used transphobic slurs and ableist, not ableist. What's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, I mean, I guess ableist slurs.
Sexist.
No, well, he said retard. He called somebody a retard.
Nah.
And he called someone else. Yeah, and he called someone else a tranny. And like,
apparently, when he was called out on it, he was like, "Well, fuck it, I can say what I want."
That's the thing is when someone was like, "Dude, don't say that." His response was like, "Go fuck yourself."
And that's
like,
the problem.
I'm not part of your PC culture kind of a thing, which is like, man, that's just culture now. Yeah. Like, you need to just get over it. And
I'm not a part of your being decent to people culture.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
Well, you're in customer service, so you better fucking
right,
lie.
Exactly. No shit. Exactly.
You're billing your... Okay. The only way game stores, like brick and mortar, compete with something like Amazon, where you can buy all these games for cheaper, is... And with digital comics and stuff like that. The only way you compete is by, and stay in business, is by providing a community. You offer things that Amazon can't, like a place to play, organized game nights, events. The things that Amazon can't do, you have to do that.
Yes.
And that means you're going to be like a community center to some degree. Yep. And you can't do shit like this and stay in business if you're going to...
And the source has been.
Right.
The source has been that. The question is...
They're like a cornerstone of the... Yeah.
The question is whether or not they're going to continue to be that. And I think it's interesting because, like, another example, which isn't local, about a week ago, Bleeding Cool...
Oh, my God.
...posted an interview with Vox Day, who's an actual fucking Nazi. You know, he's a white supremacist.
Nationalist white supremacist. Yep.
And it was a... And they did it, essentially, it seems like the intent... was to show how bad he looks.
Kind of.
Except that's not really what ended up happening.
Did you read the interview?
I didn't because it got taken down
before I could read it too.
So I read almost all of it. I skipped some of the history stuff, right? Because it was really long-winded. But they talk about how Vox Day's father was a scientist and the background and how they went from... You know, the Minutemen who founded the country to the Minutemen rockets and blah, 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 and how that's his family's history and yada, yada, yada. And really, what they were trying to do was humanize Vox Day, faults and failures included. But, I mean, what they were doing was giving a fucking Nazi a platform.
Humanizing a Nazi... is humanizing a Nazi.
Right,
is
yeah,
the thing.
Totally.
You're saying, like, that's, you know what that is? That's, there's good people on both sides. I don't, then be on the other side.
So the interviewer literally says in the interview, I know some people on the left will say that what we're doing is bad because we're normalizing nationalism by giving him a platform. But blah, 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 blah. It was like, no, but. Like, you had it.
That's just what you're doing.
Because that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is that was a big screw-up. But Bleeding Cool's response to it was pretty strong.
Yes.
New editor-in-chief.
No.
And a heartfelt, meaningful apology.
Took down the article immediately.
I feel like I need to say, because this is important with the source story, because one of the other, the assistant manager, one of the other managers, not the guy, Hans, who was the one doing all the stuff that was the problem, not the problematic manager, but one of the other ones, messaged me on Facebook and was like, I just want to say, like, you and Nick are great customers, and, like, it really matters to me. And it was you calling it out, because I posted that thing and was like, source? Like, because the source posted a thing within hours of the allegation that was like, hey, we're here for everyone. We welcome all people. If you have any problems with us, email or call us directly and we'll talk about
questions,
it.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people were like, fuck that. Like, answer the questions here. Like, that's, you know, and there's a lot of that. And I eventually was like, listen, I'm in there every week. You know, please, you guys, like, just please listen. Just, we're begging you. Like, don't hide from this. You're not going to avoid bad PR by not answering these questions here on Facebook. And within a couple hours, the source page started answering questions. Now, they weren't amazing answers, but, the owner had just left for a vacation where he's off the grid. Like, on one of those fishing trips up north where you just don't have computers or phone.
That's going to be a really entertaining return from a vacation.
Right? And so they're like, so there's only so much we can do while the owner isn't here. And he answered a bunch of questions and, you know, obviously didn't answer a lot of things that were more direct. Like, what are you going to do about this? And who will be fired? And
because
they're not going to say that. They can't. But, like, it was, I have to say, like, I thought, and he, in the message to me, the private message to me, he was like, well, for better or for worse, I did what you suggested and started answering questions, you know, and I guess we'll see how that shakes out. And I told him, like, I really applaud that. I think that takes courage, and I'm glad you did it, because I think it's important. And a lot of companies these days seem to think that just pretending nothing's wrong or deleting or hiding or whatever is going to make everyone forget what's going on. And all that does is fan the flames, because then it's like, oh, so not only that, but you don't care.
So
you don't care.
So we get our comics at the source, or have for the last 8 years.
Yeah,
I read Bleeding Cool several times a day. Like, I think that's realistic. I have it. Mm-hmm. It's in my feed.
That's how you saw the Vox Day article before it got taken down.
It's because I read it regularly.
Yeah.
I never would go to Screamtown anyway.
I don't like haunted houses.
There's no business of mine to lose there.
Except for the Haunted Mansion.
But I immediately looked at other ways to get our comics. Mm-hmm. And we're trying something new.
A friend of the show, Timmy Iverson, uses a service that, because in the winter, he's crippled Timmy. He can't get around super easy. So he has a mail order service he uses in the winter months to make it easier to get his books.
Just for context, that is what Timmy calls himself.
He calls himself that. If you haven't listened to that episode, go listen. It's great.
Guest of the show, please go back and check that out.
Super ableist right there. And
It's his own word, and that's what he prefers.
So it's Comic Cartel. They do like a delivery service. They deliver them bagged and boarded. I don't know. The reviews are mixed. We're going to try it out. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But I'd love it if there was a comic store that was independently owned by some women or something like that, that was convenient for us to get to. But there isn't one, period, that's inconvenient to get to, really, in the Twin Cities. So they'll get our money until we figure it out. And Bleeding Cool, I have all their ads blocked, so they're not really getting any money off me anyway, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how much I'm supporting them by reading.
They probably get page clicks. I mean, regardless of whether or not you see the ads, they probably get that.
Sometimes I don't even go to their page to read the content. It's through the Feedly RSS feed.
But to be honest, they admitted their mistake and deleted the article. They didn't just print a retraction.
No.
They didn't just say, oh, our bad, and then leave it up.
Right.
They were like, you know what? You're right. We gave them a platform. That was fucked up. Let's take that platform away. And granted, everyone talked about it for a few longer, and people had, you know, clips from it and everything. But the fact is, it's only going to be a matter of time before that's forgotten, and that stuff's gone.
And I feel like their response was appropriate and quick.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
the real issue is the source's response hasn't really been much.
But some of that is they're hamstrung by circumstance of the owner being out.
Yeah. It hasn't even been a week.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Let me ask a different question. Instead of what do you do? Can the source do enough for to get people's confidence and money back and support? Is there redemption? What does that entail?
I think it's really going to depend when the owner gets back. How fast do they respond and say something?
And do something.
Yeah.
Because they can say You know, that's the thing. In the words of a friend of the show, Cargill's favorite, Megaforce,
yeah.
Deeds, not words.
Right.
Deeds, and words. It's important.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd love to continue supporting them. No, that's not true. I'd love for them to be worth supporting.
Yeah.
And I would hate to see the source go away because they're shitty. I always just thought they'd fold because of bad business decisions. Like game stores always do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but Tim. What are they going to do to get your money back?
I mean, I need to see an official response.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is not just saying we're going to do something about it, but also doing something about it.
Do you think the Shield Maidens list is a good place to start? Yeah. Would that be enough?
I mean, if they did everything on that list, that would be a really good show of good faith.
Hmm.
Man, I feel like we've been having this conversation a lot lately about nerd, bastions.
Yeah.
With Renfest and other things where it's like, what can they do to regain, you know, your trust? What can they do to bring you back?
Creators.
And
directors, writers. Yeah.
And I mean, I know we got to get to five questions.
Yeah.
The difference for me in Renfest specifically, the guy who runs Renfest is an asshole. He's a misogynist. I'm sure he's a racist.
He's a crook.
He's a crook. He's all these things, and none of those things are ever going to change. And if you stay there, you have to accept that. If you go to the festival, you have to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm saying you do.
Yeah, it's just what
it is. I don't know that the owner of the source is that way.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. Unlike the owner of Screamtown.
Right, yeah. Right.
Who I'm pretty sure is that way. But I think that what I need to see from the source is that the owner or the ownership group take this seriously and want to be better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I accept that people screw up. But if they don't show some evidence that they're going to try and be better, then I don't see any reason to,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
to continue.
Some people learn by failing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, that's complicated and shitty. And
if you want to read the whole story, go to Twin Cities Geeks.
Yeah.
Search for the source and you'll find it.
Oh, my God.
yes.
And a lot of it spilled over onto the Source Comics and Games' Facebook page.
Yep.
It's there, too. And the Shield Maidens have their response on the Twin Cities Geek website, which was also cross-posted to the Twin Cities
Geeks
Facebook. Nope, not the group.
It's not the group. It's the page. Facebook page.
Yep,
okay.
They're related.
Yep.
So you can check it all out there. We'll try to link it, but yeah. There's a lot to read. So we have five questions, Molly. Who are they from?
We have five questions from Romulus.
Hey,
he's our friend Rom. Hi, Rom.
Hey, Rom.
And this is literally one of two. So you know, if you're like,
yeah, we need questions for real, guys. Otherwise, we're just gonna, I don't know, just stop the bit.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll figure something out. But
all right,
we'll have to get creative.
Yeah.
All right. So Rom has asked us five questions. So question one, do you have any recommendations for shows, TV shows, or movies to watch right now? Like, what's something that you'd recommend right now?
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah. What are you watching right now?
Right now we're watching season 6 of Elementary.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a fan of Sherlock Holmes. And,
okay.
And I think that it's a pretty decent series. I like it. So there's my recommendation.
All right. Nick?
Available on Hulu.
Is there anything you recommend right now? I will tell them. Mine is The Great British Baking Show.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And you've
probably
heard people talk about it, maybe, or you've seen memes or something. And I was one of those people once and was like, oh, it's just a baking show? What is this? But it is the greatest reality show that has ever existed. It is wonderful. It is heartwarming. It is fun. It is delicious looking. You get inspired. All I ever want to do is make incredibly fancy cakes after I watch that, and it's a great show.
There's no backbiting in between the contestants.
There's no manufactured drama.
Yeah.
They don't put in long pauses. They don't insert lots of talking head interviews where people repeat themselves and sum up what's happening.
No.
It's just the baking. It's just
everyone wants everyone to succeed and do the best.
And on the current season, Noel Fielding, who was one of my favorite actors, British comedian actors, from The Mighty Boosh, and he's the vampire from the IT Crowd, and so he's one of the hosts now, and he's delightful.
Yeah.
Everyone's delightful. Nick, what would you recommend?
Gosh. You know, if you're not watching The Good Place, really missing out on this probably the smartest show on television right now.
We're gonna get Tim to watch it so we can do an episode.
And really,
all right, yeah, so, I'm in. I'll do it.
So the two things I'll tell you about The Good Place. Number one, give it 3 episodes because the premise isn't what you think it is necessarily.
Yep.
And the show that it's in its third season now. There's first 2 seasons are on Netflix, I think. The show that the third season is not the same show that the second season was.
Yep.
And it's a wildly different show than the first season was.
With all the same characters.
It's
just very cool.
It's a fucking amazing show.
We stopped halfway through episode 3 and we went back to it after being pressured by my brother, and I'm telling you, it blew our fucking minds.
It is a great show. I can't recommend it enough.
All right.
It's comedy.
Question 2. What is a go-to TV show that you've watched over and over again?
You know,
what's your comfort show?
I would probably say a show that I go back to again and again is Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or classic Doctor Who. Hell.
For me, it's The Kids in the Hall. And if you haven't watched The Kids in the Hall, find some YouTube. I bet it's on YouTube somewhere. Find some episodes because, Jesus, it was ahead of its time. Super brilliant, amazing comedy from Canada.
I think the show that I've watched the most over and over might be Frisky Dingo.
Oh, Frisky Dingo's fucking great.
And so if you've seen Archer... Weird. It's the show that those people did between Archer and C-Lab 2021, which isn't all the same people, but, like, mostly is. And that's where that kind of art style comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Frisky Dingo is super fucking weird and pretty dirty cartoon comedy. It only got 2 seasons. There should have been more, could have been more. But holy shit,
weird.
It's so quotable.
Yeah, it is.
And there's running gags like in Arrested Development or Archer to a lesser degree where things are said. Yeah, I don't know. I just, Frisky Dingo.
Yeah. All right, now question 3. What is a favorite tabletop game you like to play?
The one that I just keep going back to lately is Stone Age,
which is a
meeple game. It's a resource allocation game.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoy the hell out of it. So that's my answer.
Yeah.
Stone Age.
I don't play a lot of board games because, you know, the shoemaker's children have no shoes, you know, as it were. But when I go to MegaCon, one of my favorite things to play is Seven Wonders. And because it's a game that, you know, it's, you need at least 3 players, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's 2-player. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
The 2-player version is dual.
Oh, okay, yeah. So then you need at least 2 players to play regular Seven Wonders, which means Nick and I can't play it alone. And I love it. I think it's super fun. I think it's a fun game because there's multiple paths to victory that don't require, like, you can kind of sneak your way in to victory as opposed to, like, just, you know, crashing through and being really obvious that you're getting all the points.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really fun game.
Mainframe?
Yeah, Android Mainframe.
Android Mainframe?
Produced by yours truly.
Because you can play it and you can have, like, light fun, and you can play it and you can play super aggressively.
The way Nick plays when we play.
it suits many different play styles. It suits the way I like to play games.
It's also a different game at 2 players versus 3 versus 4.
Vastly different game.
Even though it's the same mechanics.
Yeah, no, it's such a different game with the more people you add. But essentially it's like, you know, you're putting down grids to... Like, you know that game where you draw a line and if you
dots
make a square,
lines.
You get to, like, put your initial in it? It's that game, but way more... It gets more complex with card mechanics and random draw and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's super fun.
I think you like it a lot.
Easy to learn. Very easy to learn.
I think your kids would really like it.
Yeah.
Probably true.
Yeah. All right. Question 4. What kind of D&D character fits you best? I'm guessing he means like class.
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
or
we kind of had that question with Ron a little bit ago.
Yeah,
we did.
And, it's so cliche, but it's kind of bard. But also, to me, it's like bard and a little bit of druid.
The reason I think you're a bard, Tim, is not because the obvious, like, oh, you play music. It's that your music, you're not, okay, your band, The Dregs, as you have said yourself, you're not, like, the most musically talented, but you guys put on the best show. You're the most inspiring. And you have a lot of musical talent there. But the songs you do tend to be kind of like fucking around, having fun, craziness. Yeah. And as a result, you are a bard because your songs inspire. People can't get them out of their heads. People like sing along to your songs. People mob you at the Dregs in the Dark concert at, you know, at Renfest and at your shows. Like, people want to see you sing something badly. And they'll pay you money to hear you sing a song badly because they want you to try.
Right.
And that, to me, is the bard aspect. You inspire people with your music.
So, okay, fair.
Yeah.
I will accept that. I still think I'm also probably a bit druid, because I like trees.
Fair enough.
Druid bard.
Fair enough. I still think I am a bit ranger, because I enjoy long hikes / runs and camping.
Solitude.
Also, you know, being in nature is fine. Yeah. And
you'd rather hang out with an animal than
and
people.
And animals, yeah. I'd rather hang out with animals than people. Yep.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I barbarian. Maybe bardbarian if we're multiclassing. But barbarian, I mean, just, I'm not a subtle creature, and that's fine. You just, you know, gotta know how to use it.
All right, and finally, question 5: how many books have you read in a single day? I guess maybe I'm asking, has it ever been more than one?
Not for me.
Yeah, have you ever read more than one book in a day? Like if you're counting graphic novels or trades, obviously, like,
oh boy,
that's for sure.
Well, I mean, if you're counting that,
but like novels, I guess it's hard. I don't read short novels. I love long fucking novels. So for me to have read more than one would be pretty impossible. I read The Dark Tower, the last Stephen King book in the Dark Tower series. I read that in one day. And that took me, it took me 12 straight hours. And I just sat down and devoured that book from start to finish, and told my boyfriend at the time that he should fuck the fuck off, and if he talked to me, that I would not speak to him again, because that book was very important to me.
That's how it was with the second King Killer book.
Yeah.
Like, I got it and sat down and didn't get up until I finished, you know, with the exception of, like, bathroom and food.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever just plowed through a book?
I couldn't even tell you what book it was, but yeah, there was a time in my life where I read a lot more, and I sat down and read a book in a day.
I feel like as a teenager, I might have read 1.5 Dragonlance books.
I may have done that with a Harry Potter book.
Or Dresden books.
Or Dresden or some the short sci-fi fantasy stuff that we all consumed as
pulpier
teens.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I've definitely been in the middle of a book when a new book I'm excited about comes out, and I've put down that first book, powered through the second book, and then come back to the first book.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've finished novels in a day.
So that was 5 questions from Rom.
Thanks, Rom.
Send in your 5 questions, y'all.
5 questions at geekswithoutgod.com. Ask us any 5 questions. It could be technical, philosophical opinions, recommendations.
Don't overthink it.
If there are questions that we couldn't possibly know the answer to, all the better. We'll answer those, too.
Yeah, we'll answer anything. We're quite funny.
Or so I've heard.
Yeah.
I've been told that many times.
If you're a Patreon supporter, you may have already heard this episode earlier by weeks than others who are not. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you may have listened to the recent exclusive we did just for you folks. At any amount of money per month, you can listen to the exclusive episodes. We have a couple up now. We got a spirit board, and we did some summoning.
We tried so hard.
Did we succeed?
I can't tell you.
Yeah, who knows?
But I will tell you that all the furniture in our house keeps moving around.
Dun, dun, dun.
But we did it in Tim's house, which is even weirder.
It's weird.
It is super weird.
Consider throwing us a few bucks on Patreon. We're really close to our next goal where we get a website redesign, and that'd be great. Because the WordPress thing we put together is not...
It's fine.
I haven't even updated WordPress in 4 years.
I've been doing the back end, the technical back end of it. Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God. We'll have a new episode up next Tuesday, and you can find us there.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
If people would just stop being prejudiced assholes, we'd stop having these conversations.
We're geeks, without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I move the furniture.